Welcome back to our study of Revelation. We have just finished reading in chapter 6, verse 16, and we were looking at different scripture references about the wrath of God. So I'd like to draw your attention to Colossians chapter 3, verse 6. Colossians chapter 3, verse 6. For which thing's sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience.
Then let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10.
Where's 1 Thessalonians chapter 1? And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come.
Then look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9.
For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, now let's go back and look at verses 16 and 17 again.
And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?
Well, I could say the great day of his wrath is here. It's come. It's here. Okay. Now, I mentioned earlier that I believe the sixth seal is a transition, okay, from the persecution against God's people to the people who's persecuting or getting ready to incur the wrath of God. Okay. Now, there's all kinds of schools of thought on rapture. Nobody knows when the rapture is going to occur. But we can be assured that the wrath of God is not poured out on his people. There are several scripture references that substantiate that belief. Okay. Now, some people teach that taken from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and the last trumpet. And so some people teach that the rapture takes place when the seventh trumpet sounds. Now, as we go into this, we'll find this is the sixth seal, but we're not through yet. Then there's obviously a seventh seal, and out of the seventh seal comes the seven trumpets. Now, there's all kinds of speculation, but it's speculation. No man knows the day or hour. And so people are prognosticators, not prophets. They're trying to take current day events and put a time period, and that cannot be done. You with me? So I'll tell you when Jesus is coming back, when God's ready for him to come back, in the fullness of time. He came to earth in the fullness of time. He'll come back to earth in the fullness of time. But I also just encourage you that you don't have to concern yourself with the wrath of God. That doesn't mean the world doesn't hate you. That doesn't mean the world's not against you. And so you have to keep these things in proper perspective, okay? Now, with that in mind, we'll go into Chapter 7.
And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree.
So what are these four angels doing? They're holding back the four winds. Now, we were just talking about this a few minutes ago. I can't imagine the wind not blowing on the earth. But do you understand that's what makes the waves in the sea? And so if the wind is not blowing at all, then the sea becomes flat, right? No movement. I mean, this is pretty interesting. But this is for a period of time. because God has a plan to seal some people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so we'll keep reading.
And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the sea, to hurt the earth and the sea.
Now, this seal is not like the seal that had the scroll sealed. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
This is a mark. This seal is a mark, a stamp, a corporate seal. You understand? To where God is going to mark these people that he actually signifies here as we go on reading. Okay? But this will be a mark that sets them apart. And so he said, all right, don't turn those winds loose until these are sealed. Okay?
Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads.
In other words, don't hurt these.
And I heard the number of them which...
But let me go back here.
Okay.
You don't hurt until these are sealed.
Yes.
And so what's the underlying meaning there? Once these are sealed, there's some harm coming. Right?
Yes.
When they turn those four winds loose, then there's going to be some catastrophic damage that takes place. Okay?
And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel.
144,000. Any of you ever heard about the 144,000 being sealed? They are all from tribes of Israel. So if you're not of a tribe of Israel, this is not talking about you. And people try to get these doctrines out on 144,000. I mean, read it. If you're not a Jew, you're not going to be one. Now, he didn't stop there. He explicitly states the tribes. I can't trace my lineage to either one of these tribes. So I know that that's not talking about me. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
All of you got a witness on that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's read these tribes.
Okay. Of the tribe of Judah, sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben, sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad, sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher, sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali, sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh, sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon, sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi, sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar, sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun, sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph, sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin, sealed 12,000.
Now, when it says of the tribe of Joseph, that's dealing with Ephraim. Okay? Ephraim was the head. Even though Ephraim was the youngest son, Joseph prophesied. He put the blessing on Ephraim over Manasseh, okay? And so when it's talking about Joseph, it's actually referring to Ephraim. But there's one tribe missing.
Mm-hmm.
The tribe of Dan is not mentioned. And there's all kinds of speculation on why. And some say the tribe of Dan is extinct. And some say the tribe of Dan got dispersed in among all the others, so it ceased to be a tribe. I don't know why. I do know this, that Dan was where one of the golden calves was set up in the tribe of Dan. And some say that Dan had a curse. We don't have any record of that. And so may it suffice to say that Dan wasn't mentioned, and I don't know why. Okay? And nobody else does, because God didn't choose to specify that in the Scriptures. But don't you fall for these groups that are coming around and talking about the 144,000, because the ones that have talked to me, they're not going to make it because they're not Jews. You with me? So this is where 144,000 Israelites are going to be sealed. Okay? Now, you'll find later on that these are virgins. It's incredible that he could find 144,000. Go ahead.
After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands.
After this, after these are sealed, after this has occurred, John said, I looked and I saw a great multitude. There were so many people you couldn't number them. And they were coming from all nations, all kindreds, all people, different languages. And they stood before the throne and the Lamb. And they were clothed with white robes, and they had these palms, evergreens, in their hands. Okay? You get the picture of that?
Mm-hmm.
These are not Israelites. It's not saying that. This is saying from every nation. So this is all inclusive, okay?
And cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb.
So these are giving thanks and praise unto God, to the Lamb of God. Do you understand? This multitude without number. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, look at verse 11.
And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God.
Here they are falling on their face and worshiping God. What's going on? Praise is going up before God. This multitude is giving thanks to God. And these elders, these beasts, they fall down and begin worshiping God. God is a merciful God, and His mercy endures forever.
Saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen.
Blessing, glory, mm-hmm. That sounds like we've heard that before, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, might, forever.
Mm-hmm.
Forever. God's to be praised forever. Amen.
Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying to me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes?
And so, one of these elders asked John, Who are these? Who are these people? Now, if we'll pay attention, just use some common sense here, you're going to find out who these people are, okay?
And where do they come from? And I said to him, Sir, you know. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
Now he said, note this, he didn't say they came out of the great tribulation, period. He said, These who have ones who came out of great tribulation. These came out of heavy persecution. And so, when he asked John, Who are these? Let me say it this way. I don't have a clue. You know. You understand? And without saying, I don't have a clue, John was saying, I don't have a clue.
Mm.
You know, you tell me who the who these people are. And he tells him who these people are. They have come out of great tribulation. You remember the first five seals? Do you think that wasn't some tribulation that's going on in the earth? Do you think that's not persecution that's going on in the earth? You think of some things not occurring in the earth, adverse things? He said these are the ones who've come out of great tribulation, and they've washed the robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You know what that's saying? They have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sits on the throne shall dwell among them.
So, because they've accepted Jesus, they're before the throne, and they're serving the Lord day and night in His temple. Not in man's temple, but in the Lord's temple. And He who sits on the throne shall dwell among them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's probably a lot that could be said about that. We're the temple of God. Aren't we? I'll just let you think about that, okay?
They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat.
In other words, they're going to be protected. They're going to be fed. Right?
Yes.
God's going to look out after them.
For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes.
God's going to wipe away all tears from their eyes. Look at Isaiah 25 and verse 8. I heard a person saying that that's not really what God said. It was saying that God's going to wipe the tears out of God's eyes. No, that says that God's going to wipe the tears out of their eyes.
He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off of all faces, and the rebuke of His people shall He take away from off all the earth. For the Lord has spoken it.
So the tears are wiped away from their eyes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now we get to the seventh seal.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 8.
And when He had opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in heaven about the space of half an hour.
Now, I can't imagine that. Because there's so much praise in God and worship going to God. But when this seventh seal is open, it gets quiet. Excuse me.
Bless you.
It gets very quiet for 30 minutes. So something awesome is about to occur. Okay?
And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets.
All right, you have seven angels.
Mm-hmm.
They're standing before God. The seventh seal is bringing out seven angels, and these angels are standing before God with these seven trumpets, ready to blow at God's command.
And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne.
Here we see that again. All right, these angels have seven trumpets, but another angel comes out and stands at the altar. He has a golden censer. And there was given to him, it says, much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints. And he's going to do that upon the golden altar, note this, which was before the throne. You remember Moses' tabernacle, how God told him not to deviate from the pattern? He had that golden altar of incense. Nothing could be offered on that altar but incense. So that was the type and shadow of this altar of incense that is here in heaven.
And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand.
Now you understand that incense has a very pleasant fragrance to it. And so the prayers of saints also have a very pleasant fragrance to it. This is going up and making this a sweet-smelling thing to the Lord, as this ascends before Him, okay?
And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake.
Now note this. The incense went up with the prayers, and then the angel fills that censer with coals off of the altar and throws it down on the earth.
That's amazing.
And as voices, thunders, lightnings, an earthquake. And the seven angels with the seven trumpets get ready to sound.
Mm-hmm. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burnt up. And all the green grass was burnt up.
You're talking about catastrophic. You're talking about reducing population. He says that the third part of the trees is burnt up. All the green grass was burnt up. This is from the first angel blowing his trumpet, okay?
Mm-hmm. And the second angel sounded, as it were a great mountain burning with fire, was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood.
Now imagine that, a third part of the sea becoming blood. Hard to think about it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Third part of the creatures that were in the sea and had life died. Note this, a third part of the ships were destroyed.
Yeah.
That's a pretty significant number.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of ships on the sea.
Mm-hmm. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters.
So the third angel blows his trumpet, and the star is probably like a meteorite, asteroid, something of that effect, that's coming down like a lamp, evidently burning. And it falls upon the rivers. A third part of the rivers, well, that'd be pretty significant, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And upon the fountains of waters, the reservoirs, in other words.
And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And
that means bitter.
Hmm. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter.
Now, bitter is probably referring to poisonous, okay? Because many men die from the water. It's contaminated. Whatever this is contaminating the water.
Okay. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and night likewise.
The third part of the sun is smitten. The third part of the moon, third part of the star. So the third part of them is darkened. And it says the day did not shine for a third part, and the night likewise. You have darkness.
And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound."
This is the day of the Lord.
And I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit.
Now, here the star is referring to someone, just like in the first chapter of Revelation, the star that Jesus held in his hands referred to the messengers of the church, right? And so this person is called a star. In other words, it's a leading person, okay? Evil, I might add.
And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit.
And so when this bottomless pit's open, smoke comes out of the pit like a furnace smoking, and the sun and the air are darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. You're talking about smog. This put a whole new meaning to it, wouldn't it?
And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power.
So out of the smoke comes what he calls here locusts, whether that's literal or whether that's metaphorically, I'm not certain. But he says they have authority like scorpions, to where they can sting or they can do harm to people on earth. And they have the authority to do it. Not only do they, can they do it, they have the authority to do it.
And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads.
Well, see, now that's out of character for locusts, because locusts eat greenery, right? They destroy greenery. But he says, don't mess with any vegetation. You're here to attack men. You're here to sting men. You're here to torment men for 5 months. Now, they don't die. They're tormented.
Nice.
But they can't touch that 144,000 have the seal of God in their forehead. So that means they're still there. You with me? They haven't been caught up yet, okay?
Okay. Verse 5, and to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man.
In other words, this is a painful thing. And this goes on for 5 months. You can't die. Men want to die, they can't die. They're in the pain's there.
And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them.
So I got a little ahead of myself, but you get the pictures there in the scripture, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men.
Now, I don't know that I could add to that to give you a whole lot of description. It's just they look like they're in the military. They're ready for battle, okay? And so they're ready to do some damage. And what the significance of this description is, really don't know. And I don't want to see them.
And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions.
here again, just describe them. In other words, it sounds to me like an ugly-looking thing.
Mm.
You think about
yeah.
it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And they had breastplates as if it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle.
In other words, it sounds like you're not going to hurt them, they're going to hurt you.
Yeah.
And not only do they look bad, not only do they feel bad, but they're intimidating just by the sound of them would intimidate you.
Mm-hmm. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months.
Now he reiterates that for 5 months they have the authority to torment those on earth, except the 144,000.
And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue has the name
Apollyon.
Thank you.
Now, Abaddon or Abaddon means a destroying angel. Apollyon is a destroyer. Whether you're saying it in the Greek or the Hebrew, it still has the same meaning, that this angel is a destroying angel. Okay?
Okay. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter.
One woe is past, but there's two more coming. In other words, it's getting worse.
And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God.
So when the trumpet sounds, the sixth angel sounds his trumpet, and John said he heard a voice, and it sounded like it was coming from that altar, from the four horns of the altar.
Saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates.
Okay. Something's about to happen. There's some angels that are bound at the river Euphrates. This is different than those holding back the wind. These are bound. You with me?
Yeah.
Now he says, I want you to loose them. In other words, they have not been allowed to do damage, but now they're going to do something.
And the four angels were loosed and were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year to slay the third part of men.
So they're prepared for this hour, day, year, month, okay? Now here, remember, there was a third part earlier. Now this is another third part. Now they're going to destroy. This is not just tormenting. This is destroying. A third part. 33% of the population.
And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. And I heard the number of them. Wow.
Really, I think the way we would say that today is an indefinite number. It uses the terms, you know, 200,000, but I believe it's an indefinite number, or we would probably say like a myriad. Mm-hmm. This multitude is a myriad. I mean, that means it's innumerable.
And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone.
If you do the math on that other, it'd be like 200 million, which would be a large army, right?
Yeah.
And he said, I saw the horses. Now note this, John tells us something here in the vision. So what John is seeing this in vision, right? This is a spiritual thing. And so he says in the vision, and those who sat on them, They had the breastplates of fire, Jason, brimstone, heads of horses were the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire, smoke, and brimstone. I don't have a clue what he's talking about, do you? I've never seen an animal like that. I don't know weapons of war just like that. But John's describing from his vocabulary and his perspective. But I do know this, it's not something you want to encounter.
By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths.
And so what's coming out of them has the ability to kill. Fire, smoke, and brimstone is sulfur. So fire, smoke, and sulfur. And that's how they kill. And it says it's coming out of their mouth.
For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt.
So they can go from either end, from their mouth, their tails, or whatever. They have the power to kill men, and they're going to wipe out a third of the population.
And the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, and idols of gold and silver, and brass and stone, and of wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk.
That tells me they're the children of disobedience. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Not the children of obedience, but disobedience.
Neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts.
In other words, they're ungodly people. So these events that are occurring are being poured out on the ungodly, yet there are 144,000 godly people still there, but this is not affecting them. You with me? Okay, now time's up, so we're going to have to stop here. You guys have a test this evening. We don't want to deprive you of that. So let me speak the blessing over those who aren't taking the test, and you'll have the liberty to leave. Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us, and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee before you. Amen.
Amen.
You guys have a great rest of the week.